In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will
in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
We worship you, we give you thanks,
Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsels by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors. And thus, far shall you come, and no farther. And here shall you, your proud waves, be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Gather them from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Come on down to the sea in ships, plying their trade in deep waters.
They beheld the works of the Lord, God's wonderful work in the deep.
God spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed on the waves of the sea.
They mounted up to the heavens and descended to the depths. Their souls melted away in their peril.
They staggered and reeled like drunkards, and all their skill was of no avail.
Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You stilled the storm to a whisper, and silenced the waves of the sea.
Then were they glad when it grew calm, when you guided them from the harbor they desired.
Thanks to you, Lord.
Let them exalt you in the assembly of the people. In the council of the elders, let them sing Alleluia. Second reading is a reading from 2 Corinthians. As we work together for him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I have helped you. See now is the acceptable time. See now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacles in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, and honor and dishonor, and ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known. As dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to
you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On a spiritual level, I think that on Mark chapter 4 is something that I believe we can all relate to, that every one of us can relate to in some way. Because in life, there are periods when everything's going smoothly, and then we get hit with a storm. It could be a loss of job, broken relationship, diagnosis of yourself or loved one. Whatever the calamity or calamities might be, there's chaos. Perhaps you experience the absence of good, which by definition is experiencing evil. We know what it's like to feel overwhelmed. We know what it feels like to feel alone amid the storm. Personally, for me, it's been relationships that have ended. The times when I saw my parents diagnosed and then eventually succumbing to their cancer. It's been the turbulent journey in trying to start a family. What's it been for you? I know that for me, when I'm in those times, when I'm in those storms, my prayer and lament to God is much like the disciples in Mark chapter 4. Do you not care that we are perishing? That's my prayer at times. Do you not care? I've been angry at God for not fixing my predicaments to my liking. I also cannot help to wonder, in my pain and anguish, is God powerless or just uncaring? Is this God who we say God is, all-powerful and all-loving? Now, there are those who get to this point, and they may walk away from their faith altogether, perhaps turning to something else that enables them to cope. And what might be unsatisfying on the surface here in Mark chapter 4 is that the story does convey the truth that God is in control. But we might walk out of those storms and feel like, but where was God in all that? How come God didn't do this, that, or the other? The disciples don't walk out of this storm with an epiphany of answers. They ask more questions. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And their answer to their question is perhaps that Jesus is more than what he appears to be. He's not a mere mortal. There is divinity there. And the fact that Jesus is sleeping might be an example of the faithfulness of Christ in itself. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8 says, I will lie down and sleep peacefully, for you, Lord, make me safe and secure. Jesus shows us how to trust, and he does that all the way to the cross. I remember asking my mother when she was dying from lung cancer, where is God? And she said, God is right here with us. And we might wonder if God cares. And as we're wondering that, what we get in our gospel today is the reminder that God in Christ Jesus is right there with us. God incarnate, God who took on our flesh, is in the boat with the disciples. Why is that significant? The doctrine of the incarnation, that God taking on our humanity, is a truth that God has joined God's self to humanity. So when we ask the question if God cares that we are perishing, the answer is yes. And that's why Christ took on our flesh. That's why Christ took up the cross and was raised. If we're joined to him, then we're going to die with him, but also rise with him as well. See, Jesus not only cares, but understands, because he became human. Because on the cross, doesn't Jesus wonder the very same thing that the disciples are wondering in the boat? My God, why have you forsaken me? God, do you care? God, why have you abandoned me? That Jesus would know that feeling of abandonment. He would know those God-forsaken places that we find ourselves in, and to still be there and dwell there with us. So whenever you might feel guilty in just feeling that God doesn't care for me, God has abandoned me, you don't have to feel guilty, because there's comfort in knowing that Jesus knows that very pain as well. Jesus knows that feeling. He knows that predicament. God taking on our flesh, taking up the cross, that's a proclamation in itself that God cares for us. And we will find ourselves amid storms, but nothing, not even death, will win or separate us from the love of God that we know in Christ Jesus. The Christian life is not a storm-free life, but is a life that we know that God is on our side, that God understands our pain, that God reminds us of the promise that this will not have the final say over us. Whatever you're going through, that's not going to have the final mark or say. And if we trust that God will never let us go, that we belong to the Lord, and that word, that promise, that is something that we can cling to, that has more to say to us to get us through those storms. And that's going to triumph over the fear that we may be experiencing in the end. And if our hearts and minds are open to that promise, to that reality that God is with us, then maybe our hearts and minds can also be open to Paul's advice to the Corinthians. Open wide your hearts, he says. Open wide your hearts in love and service to others, essentially. Because God is in control, but the way that God shows his love and care for the world, his power, is through mercy. And now disappointed, there is the temptation to turn to other things, other gods, for comfort. But that's not going to take away the pain. We've done that, right? We know other people who've done that. That just numbs the pain. It doesn't take it away. Doesn't offer new life. It only distracts from the current one. Yet in Jesus Christ, we have something to be joyful about. A God who is with us, a God that we are joined to, that in the waters of baptism, our old selves have died, and we're now joined to Jesus by water and spirit. and are now clinging to the promise of the resurrection. And that promise comes to us. It should change us as we hear it and receive it. Because our hearts move from fear to love. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, but as servants of God, we've commended ourselves in every way. He talks about having great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. It's a huge long list. And then by the end of it, it says, open wide your hearts. This isn't just about you. Show people how God is with you. Lean on people, love on people. This isn't, he doesn't write the Corinthians and say, yeah, we should feel sorry for ourselves. Look at all this. No. We have something to be joyful about, even in the midst of all these calamities and storms that come our way. So the question is, are we going to journey with Christ? Are we going to pick up our cross and follow the way of Jesus? Because Jesus becomes a suffering servant that demonstrates to the world that God cares for everybody. And that's good news. That's the good news we proclaim. Good news that in this suffering servant that we come to know through Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed through the divine love poured out for us on the cross. It is this God that is risen, crucified and risen and with us in the calm and in the storm. So we're invited to journey with Jesus with changed hearts, that we would see that our suffering isn't all about us either. It's not just about you, even in your suffering. That God can use our lives, even those times of suffering, to bring up people who are down around you. As the cross was used to bring Jesus down, God used it to raise him and all who are joined to him up. And so the same can be done with the hardships of our own lives. And we can easily confuse Jesus as sleeping here with not caring. But even the Greeks in Jesus' day would have respected sages who remain calm during storms. You always need a calming presence during chaos, don't you? If everybody's freaking out, nobody's going to call 911. Nobody's going to, right? You need that in life. We need a calming presence. And I remember when I was training as a student chaplain as part of my seminary formation, an image that we were given was one in being a calming presence in the storm. So when we were called to the trauma bay, for example, the chaplains were literally a calming presence. You imagine how chaos a trauma room can be, how scary it can be. And the chaplain is there to be a calming presence in that storm, not just for the patient, but for all the medical workers that are there. And when visiting someone in their room, now if anybody's had an extended hospital stay or you've been in the hospital yourselves or been with someone who's been in the hospital for a period of time, there are people coming in and out of the room, right? Poking and prodding you, testing you, getting information constantly. When a chaplain goes in, there's a sense initially from the patient, like, okay, what do you need? And then when they realize that it's a chaplain there to visit them and to listen to them and to walk with them in this journey, in this storm, there's a calm that comes over them. Because the chaplain's doing something different. It's walking with them amidst this storm. And while that's an image of chaplaincy, I think it's an image of ministry altogether. And it's actually a good example of what our Stephen's ministry is setting out to do as well. It's not coming to people with answers. It's being with people. Being with people, walking with people, grounded in the divine love of Jesus Christ. So my mother was right. God was and is with us. And in those times when I found myself in the storm, there have been people that have ministered to me, people that have been able to pray for me when I did not have the energy, people that visited me when there was loneliness and despair. People amid those storms who acted as the hands and feet of Christ because they embodied the way of Jesus, showing forth what a suffering servant looks like, embodying sacrificial love for others. That is our holy calling as church. not portraying ourselves as a people and community that if you become a member of our church, life is going to be nothing but smooth sailing. That is not the image and calling of the church. The image and calling of us as church is to accompany others amid their storms, being witnesses to God's love, a sign of God's presence, and reminding them of God's promise. The cross and empty tomb turns our fear into joy because we can trust in this God who cares for us and all of humanity. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able. To say what we believe in the words of the Apostle Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. Seated at the right hand of the Father, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy God, you gather your people from east and west, north and south. We pray for the mission of the church throughout the world, that your steadfast love may be made known to all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the waters are the womb of creation. The morning stars sing your name, and all creation shouts for joy. We pray for your blessed creation, that it may continue to flourish and magnify your glory. Lord, in your mercy. You lead Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. And we pray for all the holy people of God. Lord, in your mercy. You keep watch over all nations. We pray for countries experiencing violence, hunger, and unrest. Guide worldwide and local community organizations in their efforts to establish safety and justice. Lord, in your mercy. You are close to the brokenhearted, those in distress or ill. Especially we pray for Matt, Annell, Tracy, Scott, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Ellie, Stan, Blaine, Michelle, Audrey, Rhonda, Nola, Dan, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Jace, and our homebound. We pray for those who are experiencing oppression. Liberate us from the systems and chains that bind us. Remove the barriers that separate us from one another. Lord, in your mercy. You dwell with us in this faith community. We pray for our leaders and elders. Grant them knowledge, patience, and kindness that through their leadership, you may be exalted in this assembly. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, we pray for all those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. Your love endures in all situations. On this Father's Day, we pray for those who are fathers or wish to be fathers, for those with broken or strained relationships, for those who are missing their fathers, and for fathers who have lost children. Bless and strengthen them. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you. Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God, most mighty, O God, most merciful, O God, our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. We'll have stations on both sides of the congregation. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be stations on both sides with consecrated wine. And if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have a tray of glass cups, and he'll release you. They'll release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission that God has given us. St. John, Lutheran Church, Windfall,
send in the Word, strengthen the sacraments,
send in the community, share the love of Jesus. Before the benediction, Shelley has a brief announcement.
All right, happy Father's Day. And in celebration of that, we are Sunday School Board of Education, is serving floats to everybody who is here today. So please do not leave without getting your float. Lois and I will be serving them out of the little window there out of the kitchen. So please come join us. We have different kinds of pop also. So if you don't like root beer, we have hopefully something you will enjoy. So please join us. Thank you.
Receive this blessing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.